for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to special episode 275 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I thought for a unique episode like this one, we would go someplace that we haven't gone before, and that's to someone who has a lot to do with comics conventions. Specifically, AwesomeCon, which is held in Washington, D.C. And I'm talking with Ben Penrod, one of the organizers and people in charge of that successful convention. We talk about comics and how the convention got started, as well as what kind of things you'll see when you go to AwesomeCon and what we might seek from conventions in the future. Because Ben is one of the leaders of this highly successful convention, I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in episode 275, so let's get to it. It's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast Ben Penrod, one of the folks very heavily involved with AwesomeCon, a terrific comic convention. I think I went to the one in 2014 in DC, if I remember correctly. I was there, I think so, Ben. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
AwesomeCon, maybe we get into this, how you got involved in AwesomeCon.
Yeah, so I grew up in Maryland. I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay.
And I moved outside of the DC area, I don't know, probably 2006. Mm-hmm. And then I'd been buying and selling comics on eBay since probably 2000, 1999, something like that.
Okay.
And then I moved into doing that full time in 2008. And I guess at a certain point, I'd built a huge warehouse full of comic books.
Oh.
I traveled up and down the East Coast, all the way out to San Diego, all over the country, selling comics. And eventually, we put on a Comic-Con in Annapolis, Maryland, with the local store there, Third Eye Comics, which is actually one of the largest comic shops in the country. It's a very cool place. If you're going to be in the Baltimore, D.C., Annapolis, Maryland, whatever area, definitely stop by Third Eye Comics. They're kind of a destination shop in that area.
What's your relationship with them? Do you work with them or customer?
So I was their first customer. Oh. So the shop that they had. So I had a lot of stuff that was in my pull box when they bought the shop from the guy who owned it before them. And I think I was like the first person he called and was like, "Hey, Ben, are you going to come buy this stuff out of your pull box?" And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I had really good relationship with the guy who owned it before, so he let me kind of hold a lot of stuff in there, but I always came and bought it all. So,
oh, wow.
But he came in there and saw all that stuff in my box, and he was worried that he had to, you know, he was going to have to eat all that inventory. So, he called me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. So he called me and we, you know, I told him it was okay. And I came in and I bought it all and everything. So it was never an issue. But
cool.
So I was one of the first people they called when they opened the store. So we started the Annapolis Comic Con with the store. And then when we started AwesomeCon in D.C. soon after that, there wasn't a Comic Con in D.C. So we were already running the convention in Annapolis and we had started one in Southern Maryland, in Waldorf, Maryland. And so we started the one in D.C. as, you know, there wasn't anything there. It seemed like an obvious thing to do.
Right.
And I loved D.C. I was living in the, you know, kind of D.C. area. My wife was commuting up to D.C. for work. So we did that and it really took off very quickly. And when we first started the show, it was a partnership with me and the owner of Third Eye Comics. He's no longer involved in the ownership of the con, but we still work closely with them. They're a major sponsor of the show. And I'll reach out to Steve for business advice sometimes. He's amazing. And I can't recommend their shop enough.
That's good. How has AwesomeCon grown? Because the DC one, we know there's, I think you had one in Ohio for a while.
DC's always been our home base, and we've run DC every year. We branched out to Indianapolis in 2014, and that one went pretty well, but there's a lot of other cons in Indianapolis, and looking at the calendar the next year, we weren't able to get any dates. And then after that, it was like, okay, there's like a million cons in Indy, so we didn't really have to be there anymore. So we've kind of just regrouped back to DC. And since then, we've joined a much larger group called Left Field Media. And it's actually really cool. So our ownership group also is invested in the Rose City Comic Con in Portland. So I'm working on that. That just happened. So I'm working on that a little bit. The New York Anime NYC. So it's an anime con in New York City, which the city of New York has been lacking an anime con for many years. So this is great. Playfair, which is another convention in New York City. It's kind of like Comic Con for kids. There's Five Points Festival, which is also in New York City. And that's a kind of a hipster con. It's comics, designer toys, street art, craft beer. We're going to have cool food trucks. It's a different kind of atmosphere for Comic-Con. That's going to be in May, a few weeks before AwesomeCon. So at the moment, we're not running any other AwesomeCon shows, but we're actually involved with all these other types of shows, which are so cool. And I actually really enjoy doing different things, kind of breaking the mold a little bit.
What was the one you just had recently? Because I got an email saying that you were that the you guys were involved in some other con. Was it one of the ones you just mentioned, or is it one? It was like an anime type of a thing. I thought it was.
So we were at KatsuCon just promoting, but I think it might have been for Anime NYC. That's a New York City's anime con.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's coming up in November. That's going to be the first time for Anime NYC, but it's going to be huge. We are partnering with Crunchyroll, and it's going to be ridiculous. Peter Tatara, who's somebody I work with, he's kind of taking the lead on that, and he's an absolute expert on anime and anime conventions. He's a total genius, and this is going to be the most amazing convention that the anime world has ever seen.
Okay, now if people want to find out about your stuff, let's start right off with showing how you get this kind of good information about, if you want to go to one or several of these cons, where do you go to get information about it?
So for AwesomeCon, it's easy, awesomecon.com. If you want to know about our other shows, yeah, so if you go to leftfieldmedia.com, leftfieldmedia.com, there's an events list, and it's got all of the events that we're involved in, and you know, including an auto show in LA. There's a high-end audio show that is in Chicago. I'm not really involved in either of those, but like there's all sorts of events that our company runs.
Wow. So you're based in Florida, like I am, because I often get to New York Comic Con, and this year we're going to get to go to San Diego. But do you get to travel a lot? Is that how you do these things?
Yeah, so I kind of created the business as an excuse to travel. So it just sort of turned into a real job at a certain point.
Wow.
But yeah, so I travel a lot. I'm traveling less now than I was a few years ago. I was probably attending about 50 cons a year. In 2014, 2015, last year, maybe a few less than that. And this year, I'll probably be at about, 20, 25 conventions.
Wow.
But I love to travel. I love to see everything. I love to kind of see what other people are doing and steal all the good ideas that are that everybody else is doing. I put my own little twist on them, I guess.
Yeah, that's how you learn things. Because a lot of the times, I help out with an indie comic, and we go to conventions and get tables and stuff. And a lot of times what we do to go to conventions, we observe what other people are doing and kind of go, hey, we could use something like that. So it's a good thing. These conventions are great for meeting people. They're also great for getting good ideas on how you can run your business by talking with people.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something for everyone. There's so many different things that you can do at a con like AwesomeCon. And so many different types of people can come and have a completely different experience, which I'm always kind of fascinated by. Like, there's a place for conventions that are all about the same thing. I'm a huge fan of, say, Game of Thrones. There's conventions that are just dedicated to Game of Thrones, and I could go to that. And, everybody's kind of having a similar experience there, though. You want to see the same people. You want to get the same stuff. You want to kind of do the same things. But at AwesomeCon, it's on the other end of the spectrum where everybody's got their own agenda and you're all in the same place, but kind of doing a little bit different thing. It's really cool.
Now, before we go any farther, what about AwesomeCon? Can you give some specifics of what's going on with this year's AwesomeCon, like when it's going to happen?
Yes. So AwesomeCon is June 16th to the 18th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in downtown D.C. This is our fifth year, so this is kind of a milestone year. We started in 2013 with a very small space. That space we now use just for tabletop gaming. That's all we use it for, where that was our whole con in 2013. So we've now expanded to all five exhibit halls. This is more exhibit space than almost any other con. And our exhibit hall is, by square feet, larger than the exhibit hall in San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con. So to give you an idea of how much space we're using now. Now, they probably cram more into it than we do because we have all the celebrity lines and they don't do that. Mm-hmm. But the square footage is massive, just to give you an idea. It's a lot of square footage downstairs in the main exhibit hall.
So who are going to be the guests? Do you remember for this year?
Yeah, so our big guests are Stan Lee, I think everybody knows Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. David Tennant mm-hmm. is coming for the first time. So we've always had a big Doctor Who thing. So like from 2014, we had Billie Piper. It was her first con in the U.S. that she had ever done. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge kind of get for us. And ever since then, we've had good Doctor Who guests. Mm-hmm. So we have Billie Piper returning this year, which is actually very cool. I'm excited mm-hmm. to see her again. Mm-hmm. We've got John Barrowman, who is returning again. He was there last year. He's coming back because he's also a huge fan of David Tennant. Mm-hmm. And then I believe the first time ever, Catherine Tate and David Tennant will both be at a con together. So we got Catherine Tate, and this is huge. We've been actually trying to get Catherine Tate for like 3 years. So this is really exciting for me. I'm a huge fan of Donna Noble. I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan, mm-hmm. but Donna Noble is one of my favorite companions. Mm-hmm. Super, super, super excited mm-hmm. to bring her in. We've also got from the comics world, aside from Stan Lee, we've got Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Ooh, that's a good pair right there.
Right. So I'm really, really excited about them. I've been working on, we're going to be putting together some special things with them, and hopefully I'll have those announced in the next few weeks. Those are kind of our main big headliners for right now. We've also got Eliza Dushku, who I've wanted to have at the con forever. I'm a huge Buffy fan from the early 2000s and huge, huge, huge Buffy fan. Dollhouse. I love Dollhouse. So I'm excited to have Eliza there. We've got Will Wheaton, Felicia Day, Jason David Frank, which I know so many people are excited to meet Jason David Frank. Kari Payton, he's in The Walking Dead as King Ezekiel, but he's also the voice of Cyborg from Teen Titans Go.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I was watching that show, and I was listening, and I kept saying, man, his voice is so familiar.
Yeah.
And I closed my eyes, and all of a sudden I saw Cyborg, and I went, oh, my gosh, it's Cyborg.
That's so cool, right? Like, yeah. And I'm a huge Teen Titans Go fan, so I'm excited about that. We've got Kel Mitchell, who is in Kenan and Kel, all that, Good Burger. I'm huge, huge, huge. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm personally a huge fan of Good Burger, so this is one of those like kind of dream guests for me. Phil Lamar, fantastic voice actor. He's been to every single Awesome Con. Wow. So we were like, we got to bring him back this year too.
Because he does the voice in Samurai Jack. He's the voice.
Yeah, he's the voice of Samurai Jack. So this is super cool. Looking through our comic guest list, I think we're still working on a few things, but we got some super cool people who I've been trying to bring in for a long time. Mm-hmm. Dan Parent, I think he's been to one of our other shows before. Mm-hmm. Dave Perillo, he's not necessarily a comics guy, but he's a fantastic artist. He does a lot of Disney stuff. I'm a huge Disney fan, mm-hmm. so that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Got Jim Zub, who's mm-hmm. doing tons of cool Marvel work as well as his own independent stuff. Mm-hmm. Mags Visaggio, who's kind of an up-and-coming comic writer. Mm-hmm. She's really, really great. We've got Ryan North, who he does Dinosaur Comics, which is a webcomic. He also is doing – oh, he's doing Squirrel Girl. That's what he's doing. Oh. He wrote Adventure Time for a long time, but he writes Squirrel Girl right now. Mm. Huge, huge. He's becoming like kind of a really big deal in comics, and, and he's one of the funniest and best writers out there. So I'm really psyched about that. Actually, our comic guest list is very big and growing. So if you check out our website, there's a lot more on there that we have.
The one year I was there, was Joe Harris was there, who does like the X-Files books.
Oh, Joe Harris is going to be there this year. Yeah, absolutely.
He was telling me that he wished he was able, because he came with a whole bunch of people in one car, so he was limited in what he could bring. But he was like sold out by Saturday afternoon. He was wishing he could have brought a whole lot more. So he said next year he was going to bring a lot more. So I imagine he is bringing quite a lot to sell these days, because he was real happy with that. He was so excited about the DC one. He wanted to be sure he'd come back. He'd be there every year, so that's pretty cool.
He's here pretty much every year. I think he's also coming out to Five Points Festival in New York City also, so mm-hmm. I'll see him in May there.
That's cool. That's a stomping ground, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, because you're a comics guy, and I had been to a comics convention in Miami, and I won't mention the one, but I was asking them about stuff, because as a press person who writes reviews and writes columns and does the podcast, I'm forever asking people, stuff about the convention, and she said something to me, and we talked about this a little bit before we started to record, about the fact that out of all the people that were coming there, and I don't know how they determined this, but she said only like a third of the people really were there specifically for comics. Other people were there mostly for guests, you know, the media people and things like that. And I don't know how you determine that. I mean, what's your sense about how that works like at AwesomeCon?
Yeah, so I, you know, we had kind of briefly spoken about that a little bit before. Mm-hmm. So I actually looked up our survey data because we do post-show surveys and we ask questions like that. We didn't actually ask that specific question. We asked a lot of information about who is attending the show and what they liked about the show, but we didn't actually ask them specifically if they were there for comics or what. But we do know that our most popular thing that the most people wanted to do at the show was the exhibit hall and the artist alley and the celebrity guests, which are the top. Mm-hmm. Those were the top three things kind of universally in that order. Mm-hmm. So I think that number doesn't sound too off. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for me to gauge. Maybe that's a question we add to our survey for 2017, but we did not ask it last year. Mm-hmm. But
see, the thing, I don't understand how you determine that. I mean, I guess if you buy passes to see a guest, like say you want to go see David Tennant, you know, you kind of count that person as a media person. But the truth of it is a lot of people who are interested in media guests are also interested in comics. Just the other way around goes too. So I don't know how you determine who is a comics person and who's a media guest for that. And that always puzzles me.
So I assume that for that particular show, they had asked that question in their survey, and that's how they came up with that number. I don't know for sure. I wish we had asked that question in our survey. You know, I could say, hey, look, this is the number of people that told us they were interested in comics. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know. That doesn't sound like a bad number, though. It doesn't sound like it's incorrect at all. I know that we get the most attention and we sell the most tickets when we announce a celebrity guest. Like, so for instance, if we announced David Tennant, we sold a lot of tickets. Mm-hmm. Like a lot. Mm-hmm. We announced Stan Lee. We announced Stan Lee and we sold a lot of tickets. So Stan is a comic creator, but I think he's more kind of a general celebrity at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people who aren't comic fans at all are also big fans of Stan. So I really don't know. I know that comics are a huge part of our con and have always been a huge part of it. But I also know that the way pop culture is working right now, that the comic properties are much more probably well known outside of the actual comic books themselves. Like Thor is a huge major movie character and he's a really big deal in the movies, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Thor has a top selling comic book. I don't know if he does. I'm not really on the sales data or anything like that, but I'm just saying, for instance, that the best selling comic book might not necessarily involve the characters that most people are familiar with who are coming to the con. Mm-hmm.
Well, accept that as a given for the moment. And one of the things that really drives me nuts about like San Diego and New York and other places is they still have Comic-Con in the title. If you say that two-thirds of your people are there for other reasons than comics, I'm always frustrated when people call, because one of the things I like about your con is it's called AwesomeCon. It's not Awesome Comic-Con or anything like that, because it's like there are other conventions starting to do that now, which makes me happy because, you know, there's no indication that comics aren't a part of your group. But the truth of it is if it's mostly stars and things like that, and that's where you're going to make the lion's share of your money, it's kind of deceptive in my mind to put Comic-Con in your title. So were you involved in that process of how it got named AwesomeCon?
Yeah, I named it AwesomeCon. So
you did?
Yeah. Wow. So basically the whole idea was that I wanted to have the coolest name possible. Mm-hmm. And I thought we could have called it, you know, the Washington, D.C. Comic-Con. We could have called it Awesome Comic-Con or something like that. I thought Awesome Con sounded cool. It had a ring to it. It was catchy. Mm-hmm. I had the domain name, and that was the important part. Mm-hmm. Nobody else had used the name yet, so those were important things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, I like the name Awesome Con because it means we can kind of make it whatever we want it to be, and it can grow and evolve over time. And I think in 10, 15, 20 years, it may have, due to changing tastes or whatever, it may look totally different than it looks today. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll look exactly the same. It's very hard to predict that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I don't really take the more purist view on that. I think I know that San Diego Comic-Con was one of the first conventions to bring in celebrity guests. Probably in their second or third year, they were bringing in Adam West. Mm-hmm. And so, so I know that it's not, you know, it's not a change for them to be more involved in celebrities. It's what they've always done. Mm-hmm. So I'm not overly purist in my view on that. But at the same time, I think if you're going to call yourself Comic-Con, it doesn't have to be a majority comics, but at some point you've got to really put an effort into comics programming and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I know that San Diego, for sure, as I go every year, it's they do a lot of the comic stuff and the entire comics world is out there. So mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. I buy a ton of comics at San Diego. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm cool with that. But I think I like having a name that's really versatile and doesn't necessarily mean anything, mm-hmm. but it still communicates what it is. You know, you, mm-hmm. you see Awesome Con, you kind of have an idea of what you're going to get without having to ask.
Well, and of course, like you kind of set yourself up, though, in a sense. What happens if it's not awesome? Somebody's experience goes to Awesome Con, it's not awesome. You know,
that's
you've set your standards high as far as that goes.
Yeah, I like that. I like, I'm a hardworking guy. I like to challenge myself. I like to dig myself into a really deep hole and then have to figure out how to get out of it. So we came out swinging right off the bat. We promised a whole lot, mm-hmm. and then I had to figure out how to deliver it. And that was, you know, that's kind of been our MO from the get-go. And mm-hmm. I think we've done a very good job of that overall. We've had a few hiccups. We had a few snags. Mm-hmm. I think something like 150,000 different people have attended our show over the years. Mm-hmm. And there's a few people who probably didn't have the awesomest of time in that number, but the overwhelming vast majority had a great time. And we've got reviews and survey results prove it. So
my brother goes, and he's part of the local Star Trek club up there, the USS Chesapeake, and they will turn in panel titles and panel subjects to do. And so they're always interested in being a part of Awesome Con up there. And the only one thing he ever fussed about, and I'm sure this is a growing pain, was that one year when it was registration time, the computers all crashed at the same time or something, and people had trouble getting into the building. I think that was a couple of years ago. I think you guys have ironed all that stuff out by now.
That was in, I believe that was 2014, and that was a... Yeah, we had some issues with getting the people into the – we had basically at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, 10,000 people showed up at one time. And the entrance we were using to the building could not handle that volume of people.
Oh, wow.
And we had not really planned on – you know, it's one thing to say – you want 10,000 people to come to your convention. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when 10,000 people are standing in front of you and you're like, this is a really large number of people. And so and figuring out how to maneuver 10,000 people in a small space is that's a skill you have to learn. So I hadn't quite gotten it yet.
Well, but you guys have grown, though, as a result.
We've grown a lot. We're actually probably about twice as big now as we were then.
Wow.
And our registration is probably the smoothest of a show our size. We do that's an area where I'm really proud of the job we do, and we really can process a large number of people in a short amount of time. We also mail badges to attendees. If you order your badge, we mail them for free. So we're more concerned with getting everybody in on time than making a few extra bucks on a mailing. So everybody who orders their badge before a certain date, I believe it's April 28th, everybody who orders their badge before that date is eligible to get theirs mailed to them. And then you just show up with your badge and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Now, I got to ask people questions like this just because I'm always fascinated by it. You guys would not run a convention if it wasn't somehow profitable. And given the several years you've been doing it, it's obviously very successful. And as you continue to grow and things start to happen, you say now you're double the people you were just a couple of years ago. As far as like the convention business goes and stuff like that, do you think that the convention business is going to continue? You mentioned a little bit about things might be different in the future. Do you kind of see that there's some changes coming that you guys are trying to be aware of?
But I think I hope my answer to that question would always be yes, regardless, because the worst thing you can do in any business is to get complacent and rest on your laurels. And I would never, ever, ever want to do that. Do I see any immediate kind of changes? I see the industry changing and growing in different ways. Yes. And I also stay aware of trends that are going on. I watch an unimaginable amount of TV, like as a job, like I watch a ridiculous amount of TV. And so I try to stay up on as much as I can. Mm-hmm. when I talk about the business changing, I'm more talking about changing interests or changing the way that people kind of enjoy the con, changing from a majority of booths that are selling products to a majority of booths that are maybe promoting something. Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of comes with growth anyway. But mm-hmm. or having different kinds of celebrities or having celebrities at the show in a different aspect. I don't know. I'm just saying there are many different things that could change at any time. And I don't even think I could speculate on what this business might look like in 15 years. Because if mm-hmm. you look at it 15 years ago, mm-hmm. it was in the infancy. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it'll be changing. It'll constantly be changing, whether that's for better or for worse. I think that's more a matter of whether we're prepared mm-hmm. for those specific changes.
The first one I ever went to was in a hotel lobby, you know, and now you guys are renting out convention centers.
Yeah.
You know? So this is, you're talking about change and stuff like that, you know. But on the other hand, you were talking about 15 years. I don't even know 5 years what the conventions are going to be like, because again, this massive evolution going on, and honestly, there's got to be money in all this, because there's every weekend there's like 3 or 4 conventions being held in the country.
Yeah, so there's definitely money in it. Mm-hmm. With that saying, that we're growing very quickly, and the especially working out of convention centers or hotels, the cost of growth is very expensive. So we could double in size. That doesn't necessarily mean our profits are doubling,
no.
because our expenses are going up just as fast as our income. Mm-hmm. But maybe we make a little bit more money, but it allows us to do more and to be a bigger presence either in the industry or just to have a bigger and better show, which I think everybody, mm-hmm. we just kind of want to do that. It doesn't mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily matter whether it makes us more money. We want to have a bigger and better show. Mm-hmm. We have a pride in our work. And I think mm-hmm. our number one goal is to put on the best show possible and to do a great job. And as long as we do that, we know that we will be able to pay our bills and we're not going to have anything to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you guys just continue to grow and grow. I'm convinced that building may not be big enough for you before too long. But
well, there's not many bigger buildings than that, so don't say that.
That's the problem, you know. As far as DC goes, there's not a lot of big areas to go that.
It's one of the 10 largest convention centers in the country, so we're not moving to a larger building, I don't think.
Okay. Okay, now let me ask you about comics people again, because I'm always interested in that, because we talked, Joe Harris is there, yeah. other people come there. I think Justin Jordan I saw there at the time I was there.
Justin Jordan has been there every year, but he's not going to be there this year. He's got some other commitments. That's okay. I still love Justin, and he's a fantastic dude, and I recommend everybody read his books.
How do you determine, I mean, do people come to you wanting to be at the convention? Do you seek people out, or is it a mixture of both? How do you do that? How do you determine what kind of comic people you're going to have at the AwesomeCon?
So for the most part, we have kind of a meeting. You know, we've got a small committee of people who works on the comic side of things. And we'll kind of go through and say, hey, what do we want to do with comics this year? Is there like a big project we want to do? Do we want to do something specific? Or do we just want to kind of invite some different people to the show? And then we put together a list of people we want to invite. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of invite them and see who can make it, I guess. Mm-hmm. This year, we knew that Stan Lee was going to be, we had him in the pipeline for a long time before we were able to announce him. Mm-hmm. But we also knew that we wanted to do something that we hadn't done before. So we brought in Scott Snyder and mm-hmm. Greg Capullo.
See, you realize the timing of that is just amazing, because they're just announcing a new big project, something called Metal or something. It has to do with Nth Metal for Hawkman and all that stuff. It's my understanding, of course, I don't know until they officially tell us that. But that's what the rumor is. And of course, these guys, of course, their Batman run is classic already, I think.
And yeah.
So having them there, especially now, is just perfect timing on your part to do that.
Yeah. So I didn't even, you know, that was kind of just lucky. I mean, we wanted to have them mostly because of the Batman run. I mean, they're both individually very popular and successful mm-hmm. creators. So even if only one of them could have made it in their schedule, we would have been fine with that. But having both of them is such a big deal. And I'm a huge fan of their Batman run. Mm-hmm. And so I knew how big of a deal it was. And I think people were really, really excited when we made that announcement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let's ask you to dream big here. Okay, you're doing all this wonderful stuff. Let's face it, Stanley's a big accomplishment. Snyder and Capullo's a big accomplishment. If you could invite or get any comics guests that you wanted, who would you invite to come?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, we can, though.
So, this is nothing new, basically.
No. So, I mean, like, you know, I think...
Then who would you like to have come to the convention that you haven't so far?
So people that we haven't had a chance to really invite, yet. So I would love to have, I would love to do a reunion of all the Image creators. I think that would be very cool. I think somebody's been able to get four of them together, but to be someone who got all five together would be super cool. And we've talked to some of those guys individually, and so far we haven't been able to work it out, whether it's schedules or whatnot, but I would absolutely love it. I think that would be the one of the coolest things that we had ever done.
Wow. That'd be a smooth thing. That'd be great to have. Yeah. As far as like the floor goes, you know, the tables and stuff that people can get, is there a limit to how many comics booths you could get? Like, say, if creators come and they want to buy a booth, you know, they don't get invited, but they still want to go and participate. Do you have a certain number of booths available? As I remember, the floor was sort of divided up. You had the guests are in one place, and comics people seem to be in another area, anime stuff in a different place. How do you guys determine that?
Yeah, so we've got one big rectangle of space, basically everything except our panels and our Q&As and stuff like that. So we've got a giant exhibit hall full of exhibitor booths where they're selling things mostly. We've got some special features around there. We've got like the kids zone. We've got the back lot. We've got a cool little stage. And then next to the exhibit hall area is the artist alley, and we've got a limited number of booths in the artist alley, and I believe we limit the number of booths that artists can purchase. I think that is to limited to two each. So that the artist alley sells out very quickly, and so we're already on a wait list for that. It's been sold out for a few months.
Wow.
And then moving further down from that is the celebrity guest area, and then I think we've got a food court down there also.
Cool. Now, it's very good. This convention, I can only see it getting, granted your spaces might limit you, but I can only see this getting bigger and bigger. I think what you guys do is really terrific, because like when I was there, I enjoyed myself tremendously. My brother goes every year, and he always tells me, gives me reports on how great it's going and, you know, how wonderful the stuff is that you guys do. So I think you guys do a terrific job, and man, I can't wait to, the next time I get to go, I'm really looking forward. I don't know if I'm going to make it this year, but I'm going to try. And if I can't make it this year, maybe next year, I'd love to get to go.
Cool, that'd be awesome.
It's fun to do, because the first year I was there, and I came and they couldn't find my name on the press list. And I was so distraught because I wanted to be able to get in the press. And the guy said, oh, here, take a press pass. Now, you don't do that now. You guys have grown to the place where you got to manage that kind of things a lot more intensively.
Yeah, I don't think our PR firm will let you get away with that anymore.
Well, I told the guy he was my new best friend because I was able to get in and do the press stuff. But talk about the press. Maybe just as far as like press goes and things like that, how does that function for you guys? Do you get a lot of coverage from, let's say, the big places like the local TV stations and radio stations and things like that, as well as like websites? Do you get a lot of coverage going to AwesomeCon?
Yeah, we do. So last year I was on all four local TV networks before AwesomeCon doing interviews.
Wow.
2 years ago, I did a pretty big NPR show that's a local NPR show in Washington, D.C. It's a really, really big deal. I was on that show, which was very cool. We get a lot of press. We're in the Washington Post, usually. We've had some of the Washington Post reporters hosting some of our panels and stuff like that, which is super cool. And we tend to get a lot of press. I think a lot of it, at first especially, was more kind of like, hey, look at these crazy people who dress up in funny clothes and go talk about comic books.
Yeah.
And I'll take that. I'll take any publicity. So the idea is I'm happy to get people interested by saying, hey, look at these crazy people over here dressing in crazy costumes. And then when they come and ask me about it, I can expand on that and say, hey, you know, like, this is not just people dressing in funny costumes. It's actually a really cool event, and people are having such a great time, and we've got a huge educational aspect for it. It's totally kid-friendly, and everybody here is having such a fantastic time because they're all very passionate about everything that's here, and that's a big part of what we do.
Well, I think also, you know, this is the time for conventions, because as I look over like the year's highest grossing movies, almost all of them are comic book related.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, not only is comics a big deal as far as like selling books, but also you've got films and TV shows on and all this kind of stuff happening. And so this is the time, if you start to enjoy that kind of stuff and you want to sample what it's like, you get to go there and poke around and see what people are doing there. I talked with a family who had never been to one before when I was there that last time, and they were so excited about it. They were just like, oh, man, we've never been to one of these before. We can't wait to see what we find out in here. And I said, you're going to have fun. It's going to be something you've never experienced before. Take it slow. You know, a lot of people go flying through the thing, and then they come back and say, well, I don't know if I got everything. Well, take it slow and enjoy the thing. And, you know, and if you can go more than one day, all the better.
Yeah, Nobody gets to do everything. And that's kind of one of my goals, is I like the idea that there's so much stuff that you kind of have to pick and choose, and that no one person gets to do everything. It's a cool thing. I love that. And I hardly get to do anything in my... The kind of real irony is that I put together this show, and it's essentially a show with all the stuff that I like the most. Mm-hmm. And then I don't get to enjoy any of it.
Oh, what a mess. Sometimes you're going to have to just go to one of your cons and just kind of enjoy it some. But still, if you get to go like San Diego and other conventions and stuff, that'll kind of help.
I spend enough time at conventions. I'm okay.
Well, Ben, you're doing a wonderful job. And AwesomeCon is terrific. Again, it's awesomecon.com to find out about that. And you can look up all the guests and all kinds of wonderful things going on there. And get what was the other site again for the other cons that you guys are involved with?
It's leftfieldmedia.com.
Okay.
And then we're, you know, it's a Rose City Comic Con in Portland, Oregon. There's a bunch of stuff in New York City, including Anime NYC, which is going to be one of the biggest anime cons in the country, I think.
Well, Ben's good talking with you. Maybe I'll have to bump into you at Crumbs World over in Winter Garden sometime.
Absolutely.
And we'll do some stuff over there, because it's great fun to be able to talk comics and conventions and stuff, which is just a huge part of the comics experience these days. So you guys are doing a wonderful job, and boy, keep it up.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. From flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's a wrap for this special episode. Be back next time, and we'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.